There's something strange about the Oma bomb and about our memories. I suspect that if you're like me, you'll remember precisely where you were on that Saturday afternoon on the 15th of August, 25 years ago. You'll remember precisely where you were when you heard the news about the Oma bomb. I was at a birthday party of an 80-year-old cousin in Letterkenny, and we heard the news about 4 o'clock that afternoon. I want to take you back now to earlier than that, to Monday, the 6th of August, 1945. That's an obscene day in the annals of human history. It's the day that an atomic bomb was dropped on the people of Hiroshima. On the day the bomb fell, a 20-year-old Japanese girl called Toshiko Sakiki, a clerk in a tin factory, got up for work at 3 o'clock in the morning. Her baby brother was sick in hospital, and her mother had gone to mind him. Toshiko had to cook breakfast for her father, her brother, her sister, and herself. And on top of all that, because the hospital had no food, she had to prepare a whole day's series of meals for her mother and her baby brother. She reached her office in the tin factory at about 8 o'clock in the morning. She sat down at her desk, she put a few papers into a drawer, and she turned to say something to the girl on her right. And just as she turned her head away from the window, the room was filled with a blinding light. Everything suddenly collapsed, the roof, the ceiling, and the walls. Two tall bookcases right behind her came crashing down and pinned her to the floor. Her left leg was horribly twisted and breaking beneath her. Then, in a tin factory, in the first moment of the atomic age, a human being was being crushed by books. And yet, if those bookcases had not been there to act as a kind of shield, in all probability, the girl would have died. There were no bookcases for others. On that infamous day, the city of Hiroshima, a city of about a quarter of a million people, a city, I suppose, twice the size of Derry, was almost completely destroyed by blast or by fire. 100,000 people were injured and 70,000 were killed. Old people loosening up their bones. Young children putting their bones at risk. Mothers in hospitals leaning over cots. Young girls pursing their lips to a mirror in appreciation of the day. The dropping of that bomb, or the exploding of any bomb, a bomb in Oma, for example, is a horrible intrusion on normality. It makes a complete nonsense of the dignity of human beings and the little things which fill our lives. But of course, the atomic bomb was the culmination, the obscene culmination of a process of destruction and slaughter that had been going on in the world for nearly 6 years. I was born in 1948. Hiroshima occurred in 1945. The Second World War began in 1939. During that decade, up until the end of the war, literally millions of people went to their deaths. It was a process of destruction and slaughter that had been going on for some 6 years. As I say, in the Second World War, millions of people were pummeled to death and their bodies strewn over Europe and elsewhere. They were huddled into heaps. You have seen them yourselves on television. And they were pushed mechanically and unceremoniously underground, as if they were of no more consequence than the refuge of the town dumps. The whole business, my dear brothers and sisters, was frightening, and it still is, because it's still going on in many parts of the world. It seems to be proclaiming, with a sort of global contempt, that in the final analysis, individuals are expendable and human beings don't matter at all. Now, 5 years after the war ended, when I was an infant of 2.5, on the 1st of November 1950, the Church said something very unusual. The Holy Father, at that time, was Pius XII, and he solemnly declared it to be something revealed by God that at the end of her earthly life, Mary, the Mother of God, was taken up body and soul into heaven. Not just soul alone, but body as well. That's what we mean by the dogma of the Assumption. And in defining that dogma, the Church was saying something very important about Mary, but she was also saying something very important about humankind. She was exalting the individual. She was insisting that individual human beings do matter. She was proclaiming to the highest heavens that human beings are not destined for dustbins or material for dung heaps. They have a far more noble destiny in the plan of God. Or, to put it another way, it's very important in life to be a sign of something positive. What the Holy Father was saying is that Mary assumed into heaven is a great sign of hope for humankind. Assumption is our assurance. What happened to Mary is God's plan for all of us. God tells us in Mary what he wants for us all. Her being there keeps all of us reaching upwards, keeps all of us on our toes. Mary is assumed, and we can aspire. Mary is there, and we can follow. Mary has made it, and so can we. That's what it's saying. Mary assumed into heaven as creature redeemed, finished product, God's showhouse, is a marvellous manifestation of Christ's redeeming work and of his final victory over sin and death. We too are meant to share in that victory. Every individual is. Mary's assumption is a vindication of the person, a vindication of that Japanese girl I told you about, a heavenly antidote to the horror of Hiroshima, the horror of Oma 25 years ago, all the horrors that would leave us without hope. Thanks be to God and thanks be to Christ. The Assumption of Mary fills us with hope. To that hope we cling. In that hope we rejoice. O Mary, assumed into heaven, inspire us as we journey on our way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.